I want to thank you guys again for being here tonight. Have we done everything we need to? Did we welcome visitors? All right. Thank you. First-time visitors, is there anyone in the house tonight that you haven't ever been in this house? If not, we'd love to just give you a little packet and just tell you thanks for being here. So, and then Pastor Sam always likes to joke and say, we're just going to ask you to do a solo. No big deal. But I want to thank you guys for being here. I don't see any. Did you, Eric? I didn't ask you to raise your hand. Any first-time visitors? All right. So, I have a confession to make. The presence of God up here and down here and in this house, it doesn't just happen. And my question that I ask myself is why, if we know how awesome His presence is, then why do we not really press in and spend time with Him in prayer more than we do? And I'm asking me that, so don't feel like I'm all right. But I believe it would grieve His spirit that He's like, come on, spend more time with me. Look what I can do when you just spend more time with me. I asked Pastor Sam after last time I spoke, I'm like, when am I going to stop crying at every sermon that I preach? And he's like, I hope you never stop. That's what he said. But the title of my message is Full Reliance on His Spirit. Full Reliance on His Spirit, which is our spirit when we are His children. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. So we're going to break this down a little bit tonight, but when I was praying this afternoon, my prayer was just brokenness. I don't want to do anything outside of His will, outside of His Spirit leading me. And I'm tired of putting on the pretty facade that I got it all together. I don't. But when His Spirit leads me, He will take care of every aspect of your life. He'll make up the mistakes that I will make tonight. I'm telling you, you might not even know if I make a mistake because His Spirit will go before me. And so why do we worry? Why do we work so hard to be perfect? When He's like, you don't have to be. My Spirit is what's in you. You just have to rely on me and not on you and not on man, not on what you think is the solution, but just on Him and Him alone. So 2 Timothy was written by Paul to his son in the faith, which is Timothy. And Pastor Sam, I was talking to him about it some, and he's definitely my father in the faith. And he said, hey, why don't you study a little bit about Timothy and his life? You know, how he grew up. And so I found out that Timothy was raised by a Greek father, a Gentile. And his grandmother and mother, who are mentioned in the Bible, they were Jewish women that became Christians, Jewish Christians. And they actually became followers of Christ in one of Paul's ministries, his first probably mission. And so Timothy is actually like a second generation of the product of Paul's ministry that the Lord called him to. And so it's their age even and everything, it's no wonder that he was like a son in the faith. But Timothy saw the transformation in his household when his mother, because it said as a child, Timothy even knew and he saw the way that his mother and his grandmother, he sat at their feet and learned about Jesus as being the Savior of the world. So Paul is extremely important to Timothy. And when he wrote 2 Timothy, it's believed to be the last words that Paul wrote to Timothy as he was imprisoned at his time here on earth. So I don't know about you, but if somebody that I loved as a mentor, as my spiritual father, as my leader, or my parents, or someone I deeply love and trust, if they're writing and I know they're in prison, I know that their life on this earth is coming to an end very quickly, and I'm going to listen up to everything that they have to say. It's like his last testament to him. And you also better believe that Paul wasn't wasting his words. He was being very precise with what he was saying to Timothy. And amazing how the word is. Those words are very precise for us as followers now when we read that, because it is the living word. And so now those words are exactly for us right here, right now. Amen? And I, you know, Benaiah, you said this kind of today. But I think even in Timothy's mind, he was probably, because the very first thing that says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, which is fear. That's the very first line he says. He's reminding him. I don't know about you, but I think if I were Timothy, I'd be wondering, oh, man, what am I going to do, first of all, without him in my life? What am I going to do without him? Secondly, is it worth it? Here he is in prison yet again. Is this really all worth it? And I don't know, maybe you guys aren't, maybe you're just more spiritual than I am. But there are times I'm like, man, is this worth it? It's hard. We get our lives and plates so full. We think, is it worth it? But Paul is reminding him, don't have fear. Don't be timid. Be strong in him, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. He didn't just stop with power, did he? So let's look at the word spirit a little bit. Spirit really could be capitalized, because it's talking about the Holy Spirit. As you become a child of God, you are immediately given the Spirit of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit within you. Amen? You're born again. You're immediately given that. And I also think it's important to note that the Spirit that is within us, His Spirit that is within us, also relates to mental disposition. So we change, our mind changes when we become a follower of Christ. Would you believe that? Do you agree with me on that? You're no longer that old man. You don't think the same way. Amen? What his spirit is not is timid. I looked up, I studied these words. So some other words for timid is fearful. And this one kind of dug at me a little bit. Cowardice. Oh, I don't consider myself a coward. Anyone else? I mean, I don't. I don't consider myself a coward. But I do have fear. Fear will reign in my life sometimes. And I would say that Timothy definitely had a right to fear his mentor, his father in the faith, is being imprisoned. People are being killed for proclaiming Jesus Christ all around him. You know, his mother, his grandmother, they could die. His life could be taken. But Paul's reminding him not to be fearful. Just as we should not be fearful, because you better believe there's going to come a time we're going to face those trials and tribulations in our life and persecutions like we haven't faced before. And we are to not fear. But I want to talk a little bit about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because for me, fear is what holds me back. I'm timid. And I'm not exactly shy anymore. I used to be. But I'm not too shy anymore. Ask my kids. I'll speak to strangers everywhere, won't I, Ella? Yep. They kind of get embarrassed. I'm at Walmart or whatever, and they're like, Mom's just talking to someone again, you know? So I'm not really shy anymore. But I am fearful because I'm fearful about what are they going to think about me? How will I be perceived? Or how about fear? What if I say something wrong? How about fear if they ask a question and I don't know if I really know the answer? All these thoughts will paralyze me and they will paralyze you. But are those thoughts from the Lord? No. They are 100% not from the Lord. They're from the enemy. Because what does he want to do? He wants to keep our mouths quiet. We need to instead allow his spirit to reign in us and squelch those thoughts of fear. Because they are not what his spirit is in us. Amen? Honestly, when we allow fear to reign, we're basically saying, you know what? I'm not sure if your spirit is really going to get the job done. That's not a good place to be in. We know his spirit will get the job done. We know that. So let's choose to not let fear reign. Let's choose to not be cowardice. Let's choose to not be timid. Amen? Pastor is stirring up within us to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around us. I don't know if you've noticed that. That's been a common thread, and I think about every one of his messages. And we need to listen up. We need to listen to the word of Jesus Christ and go forth and tell this world before it's too late. Before it's too late. What his spirit is? Power. Now listen, as Pentecostals, we are excited about that power. Hallelujah, right? I mean, we are so excited. But it's not just power, right? We'll talk about it a little bit, but it's not just power. Power, here's some definitions. A spirit of strength. I like this one. Meaning manly vigor. Come on. All right. And this is great, in opposition to cowardice. Complete opposite of timidity. Complete opposite of fear. I like to think of this type of power as warrior power, right? We can kind of engage and think of that. Maybe even you have like that Braveheart moment. Has anyone watched Braveheart before? And he's there all painted and he's riding on his horse and he's giving him the pep talk. You know what I'm talking about. You know, and it's this, sometimes you might need a little pep pep talk with the Holy Spirit, you know, because we got to fight back that fear, right? We got to fight back that fear. So if you need to have a little time with the Holy Spirit, maybe you know you need to tell someone at the store and you're just kind of like, but what do I? All right, Holy Spirit, I know that you have not given me a spirit of fear. Instead, you've given me a spirit of power. Amen? So give me the power right now. Help me to have the strength to go forth. Help me to have that warrior power and fight back the enemy who's trying to keep me back from doing what you have called me to do. Amen? And you better believe that you're definitely going to battle as soon as you begin to take steps in obedience to go talk to someone. You are definitely going to battle, because that is not what the enemy wants you to do. So you're going to meet opposition right away, and it's starting with fear. But we're no longer going to live in that fear. We're going to recognize of who it is, and it's the liar. He's the flat-out enemy, and he's going to keep you right where you are, and that's with your mouth shut. We're not going to do that anymore, guys. Come on. Come on. Let's not do that anymore. We have been given the most precious gift, the most precious free gift, and that is eternal life with Jesus Christ. Why do we keep our mouth shut? Why, Lord? Show me, Father. Show me, Father, the lost and the hurting, Lord. And help me to have the power that you have given me already to ignite that in my life. Second thing that his spirit is love. Whew. He is love, isn't he? So it's not all just this power, but it's also love. So when you go to talk to someone, when the Spirit is leading you, yes, you do it in power, but you have compassion. Whew. You have love for them. It's this agape type love. It's unconditional love. It's benevolent or charity type love. I love this. I found this in my studying. This type of love chooses to love even if the recipient somehow seems undeserving of that love. We don't get to choose if they're undeserving. Nobody is undeserving of the love of Christ. Everybody deserves the love of Christ and the message of salvation. Yes, it's up to them to choose, but everyone deserves that. I love the contrast between power and love. I got hung up on that one. But it reminds me of Jesus being called both the lion and the lamb. Amen? What a picture. Complete opposites, right? But that's who God is, and that is the spirit that is within you. Revelation 5:5. You don't have to put it up, unless you can. Go for it. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." He is the lion from the tribe of Judah. Amen? Thank you, Lord. And he is the Lamb of God, the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. What true love that exhibited in our lives. John 1:29, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He is the Lion and the Lamb. He is power and he is love altogether. When we pray to Jesus, I love this, when we pray, it's not my words, by the way. I'm not telling you that because I love my words. I'm telling you because I found this description. When we pray to Jesus as the Lamb of God, we are praying to the one who voluntarily laid down his life to take in his own body, the punishment for our sins and for the sins of the entire world. Thank you, Jesus. John 15, 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his own life for his friends. This laying down of our life for our friends is showing me that I must choose to lay down the fear that's been gripping me of telling the good news of Jesus Christ to others. And by my action, his love that is already within me will take over, just like his power will take over. In other words, I die to myself in order that others might live and know Jesus Christ. Isn't that what he did for me? What his spirit is discipline, or your version might say self-control. Now, this one gets a little tricky. We get power and love, but also discipline or self-control. This one I got stuck with a little bit for me personally, because how do I say this? I do a lot of pushing through on my own, a lot of discipline on my own, self-control on my own, instead of really dying to myself and letting him discipline, letting him giving me, having the self-control in my life. Does that make sense? It's like contrary, because I almost take this and I think, okay, I can be disciplined. I can be self-controlled. I can do that. But no, it's his spirit that has given you the discipline, that has given you the self-control. Does that make sense? Sound mind. These are other definitions. Sound mind, or to make of sound mind. To discipline or correct. Teach to be sober. If you recall, as I read earlier about what this spirit is, that it was relating to the mental disposition. You see, when we are born again, we are given the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. In our walk with Christ, there will be plenty of times that the Holy Spirit is going to correct us. Has that ever happened? I mean, it just happened to me as I was doing this message. He's like, Emily, you've been living in fear. Even as I lead worship, I don't want to look like an idiot up here, if I'm being totally transparent. I don't want to look like an idiot. So I want to make sure it's just right. As I was preparing this message, I don't want to look like a fool, so I prepare and I get it all right. But I'm not leaving any room for the Spirit to lead. Does that make sense to anyone else? But we have to listen to these course corrections that he so lovingly brings us to have. You know, on this journey that we have for just this blip of time called life. When we feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit correcting us, disciplining us, let's make sure we obey. Otherwise, our heart gets hard. Our heart gets hard. Discipline or self-control that we have through the Holy Spirit within us is also referring to mental stability. And I thought this was great, because sometimes we allow our circumstances in this world to really shake us emotionally. We allow that fear to kind of ride in. Yet again, that is not his spirit. If we're constantly in this up and down, tossed around, reactive position, it's really hard to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves, and to be used by God, because we're always the one needing help. Does, I hope I convey that the right way. I'm going to read it again. If we're constantly in an up and down, tossed around, reactive position, emotionally, mentally, it's hard to share the good news of Jesus Christ because we're the ones that are constantly needing the help. It's time we get past this. We got to get past the up and down so that we can be the workers of Him. But it's not by your own ability that you're going to get there. If you are a child of God, you just engage the Holy Spirit that is already within you to help you move past that. He is the one that will help us. When we look at the life of Jesus, I'm telling you what a perfect example He is, right? But remember, He was all man and all God when He was here on earth. So we can look at Him and we can see and we understand how to live our life because of Him. But over and over and over again, He showed self-control. He showed discipline. He was falsely accused time and time and time again, even unto His death. Yet He remained constant. He didn't react to the false accusations. He responded in a way that corrected them. They just didn't have the mind of Christ yet to know and understand. The bottom line, when you ask Jesus to be Lord of your life, His Spirit has fully equipped us, you and me, with everything we need here on earth to be effective for the kingdom of God. Everything. The Spirit within us is not timid, fearful, or cowardice. His Spirit within us is power or strength, that warrior power. His Spirit within us is love, this unconditional love, undeserved, benevolent love. His Spirit within us is discipline, self-control, having a sound mind. I want to go back to what the Holy Spirit led me to talk about that wasn't part of the notes earlier, and that is spending time with Him. If we want to experience everything that the Lord has, and I believe all of us could take a lie detector test and say we want everything that the Lord has for us, and we would be completely honest. I really believe that. I'm looking around. I know you guys. You love the Lord. I know that. But what holds us back is time spent with Him and in His Word. Because when we do that, that's whenever we have those course corrections in our lives. That's when He reveals to us His power, His love, and His discipline in our lives for us to activate. So we are doing what we are called to do, which is to tell others about Jesus Christ. And I just want to testify to you tonight. I'm making that shift in my life. I don't want to be the person that was disobedient to the Lord and someone goes to hell. It's that serious. It really is. And I don't mean that in condemnation, you guys. Not at all. But we've got to stop listening to the enemy that's holding us back and keeping us from spending time with Him. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 13. Will you put this one up there, please? 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 13. It's a little long, but we need to read this. So read it with me, okay? Not literally, but follow along. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Keep in mind, this is talking about the Holy Spirit that is in you. The Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we, that's all of us. If you are a child of God, that's all of us. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, not that fear, not that timidity, not that cowardice. Amen? But the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us. We may know of this power. We may know of this love. We may know of the discipline and self-control that He has freely given to us. Which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. Oh, we've been listening to human wisdom way too long. Which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. What a great teacher He is, combining spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. So we are to have full reliance on the Spirit that is within us when we are His children. If you guys want to come forward tonight and play, let's do a few songs. Is Amber in here? She may not be in here. Marta, go ahead and come up here and play, please. I hope that this word, you know, the Holy Spirit is just so amazing. We know that scripture really well, right? We just kind of spout it out. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and of self-control, right? I mean, we know it so well. But He's like, Emily, dissect that. Break that down. And as I did, as I was spending time with Him, what did He do? He revealed to me my course correction. I was living in fear. I've been living in fear. But when I spent with Him... That's the key. That's the key. Even more, I'm telling you, you may be thinking, well, I spend time with the Lord. Don't just get in our little routine of time. Press in. Press in to His presence even more. Excel still more. There's a scripture that says that somewhere. Excel still more. We can't get stuck and stagnant of where we are. We've got to press forward. We've got to push harder because the enemy is pushing back even harder on people right now. And he wants to keep them lost and going to a dying hell, and he wants to keep us shut up. And he also wants to keep us too busy. But should we ever be too busy that we can't stop to tell someone? When you know, you get that nudge. I've got that nudge. You know you need to do something for that person. We got to trust the Spirit that He will bridge the gap. Maybe it makes you late to your next appointment. So what? What is that in comparison to their eternal soul? And that's a hard one for me to swallow, if I'm being honest. But He's working on me. You remember that song, He's Still Working on Me, to make me what I ought to be? It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars. He is still working on all of us. It's just up to us if we're willing to continue to be molded and to have those course corrections in our lives. Amen. Stand with me tonight. I hope tonight you didn't take tonight as any sort of a reprimand. That's not my intention. But I hope that you instead see the brokenness that the Lord did to me. We are called for such a time as this, church. We really are. We got to kind of shake it up. We got to get out of our comfort. But more importantly, we got to stop living in the fear that the enemy tries to keep us in.